people suggested. And she didn't even like taking suggestions from me. And so I would say to her once or twice, I said to her, Cleo, I would yell at her, Cleo, why don't you get a hearing aid? And Cleo would say, what? And I'd repeat it again, and she would wrinkle up her wrinkly face, and she would say, oh, I don't like those things. You know, they don't feel good. They're not comfortable. And the doctors, you know, they're just out to get your money. And she would always have some kind of rebuttal and some kind of excuse. And I would say, but Cleo, you know, with Medicare and with health insurance, you wouldn't have to pay anything. You might just at least try it. And she would say, what? You understand, right? This is just how it would go. No, she wouldn't put up with that. She wouldn't do that. You see, Cleo wasn't just hard of hearing with her ears. She was also, and I'm trying to be nice about this, but she was a little bit hard of hearing with her character. You see what I'm saying? And that's not anything unique to Cleo. We all have that. It doesn't matter, I don't think, really, what our age is. There are a lot of people, and I include myself with this, who can be hard of hearing in our character. There are times when all of us can have what might be called selective hearing, when we listen to those things that, you know, are convenient for us, that we want to hear, and then just sort of conveniently just didn't really hear the rest. And that's an invitation for problems. That can be an invitation for problems in all kinds of relationships, at home, at work, at church, even our relationship with God. It can cause pain. It can cause frustration to those around us when we give that appearance of listening but aren't really hearing. And worst of all, it can cause problems in our faith life when His Word is right there in front of us. When we hear it spoken here at church, or when we have our personal or family devotions but don't really hear it? I mean, what did Jesus say more than once? Didn't Jesus say, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. Not just listen, but to hear also. And this morning, it's my prayer that God would say to us, as He did to the man in Mark's gospel that we just heard the reading from in Mark chapter 7, that Jesus would say to us here and now, Ephatha, be opened. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit working through His Word, He would open us. He would open not just our ears, but open our hearts, open our minds to His calling. To what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to what it means to be a member of His church, a member of this body of His church, beautiful Savior. May we be open today. So now in today's gospel reading, Jesus comes across this man, right? You remember how this went? And if you have your Bibles open, you can just follow along. Mark chapter 7. Jesus comes across a man who is deaf physically. He's unable to hear. But in addition, as also happens with many people who are deaf, they also then lose the ability, or perhaps never get the ability, to speak clearly. You can talk. But Jesus heals both of those, right? He heals both of those so that by the time the reading ends, by the time we get to the end of chapter 7, this man can both hear plainly and speak plainly. But you notice, as you hear this described in Mark chapter 7, this is not just sort of a news report that we're given. Jesus healed a man today, and details at 11. It's not that. We get some important insights here, right? This is God's Word. There's a deeper meaning. In fact, when you do your Bible studies, whether as a group or as individuals, you know what? Anytime you come across Jesus doing a miracle, just stay there for a while and dig a little deeper. Okay? There's always multiple layers of significance. That top layer, the miracle in and of itself, is not unimportant by any means, but it can be so much richer when we take the time to dig down a bit deeper. So what I want you to see is that the way that Jesus heals this man of his inability to hear and inability to speak, the way that he heals him, what he goes through to do this miracle, to heal him physically, also teaches us something about how he treats us spiritually. How Jesus hears us and heals us of our spiritual deafnesses, our deaf attitudes, and replaces them with true hearing. So I want to take just a moment to look again, just to look a little bit deeper as Jesus heals this deaf and dumb man, and take a look how he goes about this and apply it to ourselves. And as we do this, I'm going to make it a little bit fun, sort of. There's three little points I want to make, each one of them beginning with the letter A. So be ready for the triple A here. It's not your auto club. It's something totally different. But first of all, notice that Jesus gives this man his attention. That's the first A, is attention. Jesus gives this man his full, undivided, personal, private, focused attention. And you can tell that he does that because the first thing it says as he goes about this, the reading says, he took this man aside away from the crowd, right? No distractions. Nobody else to interrupt us. He's going to make eye contact with him, I imagine, and treat him with dignity and as a person of worth. He's going to give him some personal attention. A few years ago, we were living, and I was serving in Nashville, Tennessee. And while we were there in Nashville, I did a wedding for a deaf couple. Both of them were profoundly deaf, the husband and wife. But thankfully, they were both good at lip reading. I couldn't do any signing. I mean, I know some signs. This one's hi. Bye. No, but, you know, thankfully they could, very good at lip reading, and so we communicated pretty clearly. Once in a while I had to write something down just to be sure it was coming across exactly right. But as we had our premarital counseling sessions and we shared with each other different kinds of things, they also taught me a lot about the deaf community and things that I guess are obvious but I just hadn't realized before, that in most cities the deaf community is much larger than people usually realize because the deaf community is very much a hidden kind of community. You can't tell just by looking at someone that they can't hear, right? And that's what makes it difficult for them, because they get a little bit frustrated, some of them, when trying to converse and you don't know that they can't hear you, and then you assume that they're just ignoring you or something else like that. So they stand to stay pretty close-knit, often even closed off in some senses. So as Jesus takes this deaf man aside, and he kind of breaks down those walls, breaks down those barriers that would separate, it shows that Jesus had good intentions not simply of exploiting this man's deafness so that he could, you know, impress the crowds. No, Jesus would perform this healing purely out of love and concern for him as an individual. And so he gives him individual, personal attention. Well, guess what? Jesus gives you personal attention too. I mean, that's important to understand. I think sometimes we might lose that a little bit, right? I mean, we know that God is gracious and loving, but sometimes it's almost so big, almost becomes abstract and stops being real. We know that John 3:16, God so loved the world. And we think, wow, that's very big, right? He must have to spread himself pretty thin to get his love to cover the whole world. That's billions of people. But nothing could be further from the truth. John 3:16 doesn't mean that God has, you know, a little bit of love and it all adds up to big love for the whole world. No, it means that God loves each and every individual enough all by yourself to send his son. Right? That's maybe sometimes you've heard that said, probably, right? If you were the only person that existed in the entire world, God would still send Jesus to die for you. He loves you that much. He has a world's worth of love for you individually. Right? He has a cross's worth of love for you personally. And he loves everyone that way. That's how big, but also how personal his attention is. And since Jesus was not spared from the sufferings and from the trials that any of us will experience,
because he has encountered sin and temptation and even death. He understands our needs, and he gives personal, understanding attention to our problems and to our prayers, customized exactly for you. So in the reading from Mark 7, we see what Jesus does here. We see how also he does it for us, that he gives us his attention, undivided, personal, focused. We also see that he gives us assurance. That's my second A, is assurance. After Jesus takes the man aside, did you catch what happens? Did you see this process that Jesus uses here? He takes the man aside and it says, he put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongues. That's disgusting. You come up to me, put your fingers in my ears, you spit and touch my tongue, I'm going to smack you upside the head. Right? And why does Jesus even, what is this? In almost every other, I mean, think of any of the healings that come to mind that Jesus does. He never does this kind of thing, does he? Jesus just says a word and it happens. Pick up your mat and walk, and the person walks. Sometimes not even that much. You know, like the woman who would be satisfied with the crumbs that falls from the master's table. She's coming to Jesus to plead for the health and life of her daughter. And Jesus just says, go home. Your daughter is well, right? Not even there with her. So why is this case different? Why does Jesus not simply say, there you go. Why does he do these things? I think the answer is assurance, loving, caring, wonderful assurance. Jesus is using signs to communicate what he's doing and how he's going to do this. He put his fingers into the man's ears, touches the man's tongue in order to convey in a kind of a sign language that he was going to open this man's ears. He's going to release his tongue. And then he looked up to heaven, indicating that it was by the power of God, his heavenly Father, that this was going to happen. Not a trick, not a gimmick. Honest to goodness, God power here and now. And so even though no words were spoken, in a very real sense, that deaf man heard. He heard clearly Jesus speaking through those signs, saying, I understand your problem. I get it. Your ears don't work. Your tongue doesn't function. I'm going to fix that, right? We're going to change that. We're going to do something about it. I'm lifting up my eyes to heaven so you know where my help comes from and where your help comes from. I have left my heavenly Father and come to this world of the deaf and the blind, people who are deaf in spirit, blind in faith, who are dead in their sins and trespasses, because I see the problem. I know what's needed. I understand it. I'm going to fix it. All of this Jesus was conveying with signs, you could say. The man couldn't hear a word, but he could sense, I'm sure, could sense the assurance, could sense that this man is not here to hurt me, make fun of me, to exploit me, but to help me. To know that in Jesus' hands, everything would be okay. And God offers assurance to you and me in similar kinds of ways. Here in worship, right here in this place in God's house in worship, we gather around God's word, right? That's the central thing. We do stuff before it, we do stuff after it, but God's word is the central thing. We speak it, we sing it, we hear it, we pray it. It's how God promises to be with us, to bring his gifts to us, especially his gifts of life and salvation. But there are other ways that God works among us with his grace. Through signs, we more often call them sacraments, right? The sacraments are those visible things that God uses, the signs that God uses. Why? To assure us. Assure us. Of his love and for mercy. So, for example, in baptism, water is poured over a person as a way of showing how by the power of God, this person's sins are washed away, they are made new, they are cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, but it's more than a sign, right? It reminds us of the washing. But when God attaches his name, when we say his name, the triune name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his promises are attached to those waters, it becomes a healing thing, a saving thing, a cleansing thing. We're in Holy Communion. In just a few moments, we're going to celebrate this wonderful meal. A little bit of bread, a tiny sip of wine. We call it a meal. Not much of a meal in human terms, but by the power of God, as we speak his words over those elements, it becomes true food. Christ's body and blood that nourishes us, it sustains us for eternal life by forgiving our sins, by strengthening our faith. Right? Now, God didn't have to, right? God could just as easily work those blessings that come through baptism, that come through Holy Communion, could work those blessings using other means. Just like very often he just spoke a healing, said, you're better now. He could say those things to us and just be done with it. But he goes further. He goes the extra mile. Right? For our assurance. He uses the things that, the right things, the things that will make sense to us in our struggles in everyday life to see and to know and to feel and to experience what he promises to do for us. Baptismal waters, yeah, that makes sense to use that to wash us. Bread and wine for Christ's body and blood, yeah, that makes sense to nourish us, right? He's touching our tongues and saying, here, this is for you. So, it's about assurance, right? We see in this account in Mark 7, this deaf man healed of his hearing, his deafness, healed of his inability to speak, but there's so much more. It tells us about Christ's attention for you, his assurance for you. And I want you to understand one more thing. I want you to see just one more thing. What Jesus does here, that he does for us, look how Jesus gives ability. That's my third A, ability. Right? It says this. It says, Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. You see, this man's life was now going to be so different, right? His life would be, from this day forward, it would never be the same. The ability that Jesus gives this formerly deaf and dumb man was more than just going to affect how he would carry out daily activities, but it would also, at least I would like to assume, would also be used to hear that Jesus later on died for his sins. Put to death on a cross, and 3 days later rose again. He would use this newfound ability, this newly functioning tongue, to tell others of Jesus' work in his life personally, but also his destruction of sin and death and the devil. He didn't have those abilities before, but he did now. And as Jesus gave that man new abilities, he gives us new abilities as well. Maybe not new skills per se, but new outlook, new understanding, new attitude. And our lives are not the same because we know Jesus. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the story of a pastor who after church, like a lot of churches do, right? When the church service is over, people get up and they greet each other. The pastor is talking with people. And so one Sunday morning after the church service had just concluded, and the pastor was greeting people, and people were talking to each other. And one of the people at church that day came rushing over to the pastor and took the pastor's hands in both of his and was just shaking it, right? Just shaking him and said, Reverend, I just got to thank you. What you said in your message today was, it was amazing. It was astounding. It was exactly what I needed to hear. So thank you. What you said, it's going to revolutionize my life. It's going to change everything about the way I live. So thank you. Thank you very much. And the pastor was blown away by this. I mean, he was used to getting, you know, polite comments from people from time to time. Nice service, pastor. That was a good message, pastor. This kind of thing. But this was so much more. And of course, he was gratified that he had been able to speak words that by the grace of God had really touched this person's heart somehow. He wasn't quite sure how, but he wanted to know. Right? And so to this member who was still, you know, shaking his hand, the pastor said, well, you know, praise God for that, but I got to know now. I got to ask you, what was it? What was it in the message that touched you this deeply? And the man said, I'll tell you. He said, remember, pastor, remember when you began your message, you said at the beginning of your message that you had two main points, right? Pastor, yeah, right, two points. Oh, yeah. Well, so you covered your first point. And then you said, well, now that completes the first part. Now let's move on to the second part. That was it, pastor. That was it that changed me. You see, now I'm a new person. I feel totally different. It's going to change exactly how I live. Pastor said, what? No, he said, in that moment, I realized that I have come to the end of the first part of my life. And now it's time for me to get on with the second part. It's given me a whole new outlook on things. And I'm telling you, Reverend, I'm a new man and I have you to thank for it. Now, the pastor didn't know if he had been complimented or not. He had spent so much of his time the last week preparing his message, crafting this message based on the Word of God, using turns of phrases and figures of speech so that somehow it would affect people's lives. They could really get closer to God. And maybe something he had said and something, the way he said it, would really touch someone. But no, it wasn't any of that. It was just a simple transitional sentence. Well, now we're moving from the first part to the second part. Anybody can do that. But here's the thing. The reason I think of that and the reason I want to tell you that story is that in a sense, today is the beginning of the second part of life for all of us. No matter how old, no matter how young, the beginning of the second part of life for all of us, because through Jesus' death on the cross and through that the spiritual healing that he gives from there, we have the ability to make a new start. Our sins are washed away. We are made at one with God again. What separated us, he bridges. He brings us to him. In Christ, we have the ability to not merely listen to the word, but to do what it says. So ask yourself something. Be honest and ask yourself where you have been hard of hearing in your life. When has someone been standing right in front of you and essentially has been saying to you, maybe with words, maybe without words, please listen to me? Perhaps we have not heard the pain of the person who needs us, who says, I'm not asking you to fix me, because I know you can't. I'm just asking you to please be with me. What part of your life seems to be blocked? So you listen, but maybe don't really hear your spouse, your children, your friends, or even God. Do we hear our community calling out to us? They are. What are their needs? Do we know? Perhaps church, perhaps God is saying to us during this time of transition that we're in right now, Perhaps he's saying to us, okay, that now completes the first part. Let's move on to the second part. God may be asking us to move in a particular direction, to focus on the spiritual needs of people we might not really have noticed before, perhaps have not really listened to before. Could be a lot of things, maybe. Our Hispanic friends, the homeless in the community, someone else. When Jesus healed the deaf man, he cried out, "Ephphatha, be opened." And the man's ears were opened. Whether we suffer from physical hearing loss or whether we're spiritually a little hard of hearing, we can ask God to work supernaturally in us, just as Jesus did with the man in the scripture reading, confident that God is never deaf to our prayers, but will answer us. And just like Jesus interacted with that deaf man, so with us also, Jesus gives us his attention. He knows us personally, specifically, from the hairs on our heads to every sin we've ever done. But he loves us anyway, enough to die for our sins. And just like the deaf man, Jesus gives us assurance, beautiful, wonderful assurance through the word and through the tangible signs of those sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. Jesus assures us. Now you see, it's not just words he's telling you. It's not just a concept. This is it. My love for you, my forgiveness for you, absolute, true. Take this. This is yours. Experience it. And just like the deaf man, Jesus gives us, individually and as a body, ability. He gives us the ability to get on with our lives as he wills it, showing us that we would show by our words, by our actions, that he lives in us so that others will get a glimpse of Jesus in us too. And the final result is Ephphatha. It's opened. What's opened? Not just ears, not just mouths, but the very gates of heaven are open to all who believe. And on that last great day, we will stand with lives washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and we will hear him say those words that he promises. All things have been done well. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so may God strengthen us in our faith that we, with our ears, we hear, with our hearts, we listen, with our tongues, we proclaim. As you're able to, I invite you to stand now as we conclude our time in his word. Because this is important. We live in a world that is constantly grading us, judging us. We're being evaluated all kinds of ways every single day, some of them formal official ways, other times just by a person's glance or another person's look. Evaluations happen all the time, but we know that if God were to make an evaluation, if God were to make an appraisal of us, according to his perfect standards, we wouldn't stand a chance. But we're determined to be honest, determined to confess with truthfulness our sins, our deafness to him. Not so that we can wallow in guilt, but for the exact opposite purpose, because this is the only way that we are relieved of our guilt. As we put those sins on Jesus, as he takes them from us to the cross and pays for them with his blood, leave behind, and then move on. So let's take a few moments to consider where we have perhaps shut our ears to God's word, shut our hearts to one another, even those maybe here today. Lord God, we confess that we have sinned. We have been deaf to your word. And instead, we have spoken words that sometimes have hurt others, or offended you. Our attitudes have not been constructive, and we have not always loved you or other people as you've told us to do. And so we plead, Lord, for your mercy, even though we don't deserve it, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, and renew us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our ears to your word, our eyes to your presence, our hearts to your will, and then open and bless our tongues to tell those with whom we come into contact the wonderful things that you have done for us and for them and for the whole world. Amen. Although we may suffer from deaf ears or blind hearts, God in his love is never blind to your condition. He's never deaf to your confession. He gives you his attention, that he never leaves you or forsakes you. He gives you his assurance that his love for you is constant and never changing. He gives you the ability to live as the child of God that he needs you to live out in the world so others will know him too. All of this achieved by the sacrifice of his son, Jesus, on the cross, so that by his word, the power of the cross, I tell you that your sins, they are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.